Hi, this is Stu Zimmerman with more Inside Wealth for your heart and your wallet, right here on Talk 910 KNEW San Francisco. We are back on a very special Mother's Day edition of Inside Wealth with Byron Katie. She's literally an author extraordinaire who has written amazing, detailed books and processes that really help to shift our lives and for nothing short of enlightenment, which is the ultimate of inside wealth. It's a beautiful thing. Her most recent book is called 1,000 Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. In fact, she wrote it with her husband, Stephen Mitchell. She's also written Loving What Is, and that details this process known as the work, which is some questions of self-inquiry that are really going to question our thoughts, because we all have a bunch of thoughts. Frankly, we believe a lot of them, and they limit our experience. And dare I say, in many cases, they actually are the root of our suffering. And I don't know about you. I'm raising my hand. I've had enough suffering for one lifetime. How about you? So with that, Katie, I'm open to you in terms of taking a look at a certain aspect of my thought process that I guess I'm either confused about or feel some form of constriction around.
Yeah. So what's a thought that what's a stressful thought for you? Find a thought that's stressful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I mentioned in the bowl of stew about unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And as I do my best to allow myself to let go into unconditional love, I find that it wants to express itself in all kinds of ways. And one of the ways, and I think a lot of men may know this one as well, they may not define it as unconditional love, but in terms of sexuality and physical intimacy. And, you know, I've certainly been conditioned to believe that it's supposed to be in a monogamous form. I've been conditioned to believe that it's supposed to be held in a very specific container called marriage. And that anything other than that is wrong, sinful, shameful, or, you know, I'll be rejected by society. And that prospect I fear. And that is something that does not feel good to me, and because I'm all for inclusion and oneness and not for separation.
Yes. So Stu, is it you would have an affair, someone else would have an affair,
well,
or your wife would? Or...
Well, I'll speak for myself. I can't speak for my wife. I can only speak for me. And I know that if I were truly, let's say, liberated and free and be authentically expressing what's in my heart, I would be having intimate possibilities. I don't even know exactly what it would look like. I don't even know what would unfold in the moment. But I would allow moments of physical intimacy to unfold with other people.
So you do not allow... are you equating intimacy with sex?
It could be, but not necessarily.
Okay.
The truth is, I'm open to what the moment has to offer, which it could be completely, you know, consummated with intercourse, or it could be something other. I don't even know, other than show up and allow what's true to unfold.
Okay, so what do you fear? What happened if you were intimate with everyone?
I fear, well, aside from the STD portion of it, which is one of those grounded fears or physical fears, but in terms of the emotional fear, I fear that... either I may be misunderstood, I have a family to consider, like children, for example, and I would not want to introduce people into our family who could otherwise harm them, or let's say call it a fatal attraction of some kind, if that's what it is, or someone who would disrespect the relationship I have with my children and other people that I love.
Okay, so let's say your wife decided to have an affair, and that would affect everything you've just named.
Yes.
Okay, so your wife what? She shouldn't have an affair?
No, I'm open. I'm open. I mean, I've actually had this conversation with her, ironically enough, and because she's actually been living spatially at a distance from me for several months. And
okay, so I need my wife to be monogamous.
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
No, I'm open. And she actually asked me, well, what happens if I were with somebody? Wouldn't you be jealous? I said, I could be, but then I'd have to deal with it, wouldn't I? because I understand on a profound level, at least this is a truer thought for me than the other thoughts, that as coming from one source, that as being unconditionally loving with source present in all beings, then why wouldn't she have the freedom? Why wouldn't I relish in her freedom to experience that for herself? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is something I could. And mm-hmm. not knowing if there were other issues like jealousy or something else that would come up in the moment, then I'd be willing to deal with it.
So let's put it on you, because,
please.
You know, that seems like you could really deal with that, Stu.
I believe I could.
Okay, so you, if you were intimate with everyone, and I hear from you that's not sexually necessarily, just intimacy.
Mm.
I mean, full intimacy. And it, you know, we'll just say intimate, because I don't think sex is the thing here.
Mm-hmm.
I think where you're going with is the fear of love, really.
Mm.
But fully, you meet someone, man, woman, child, whatever it is, and you feel total intimacy with them. So what do you fear if you met every human being that way, and you might land on one specifically?
My mind keeps wanting to go back to the physical. I feel that I do a reasonably good job of being loving and being intimate with people
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis. I can't say it's in every moment.
So give me a stressful thought coming from you. See if you can nail it.
Okay.
Like, I want, I need, they should, I should, I need.
Okay. I need complete freedom.
Okay. Is that true? You need complete freedom, Stu. Is that true? Can you absolutely know that it's true, that that's what you need? And listeners out there, your answer may be no, it may be yes, but this is personal work. This is about taking your own mind back without shame or guilt, just to take your own mind back and to see what is true for you. And maybe you're not quite sure, but I invite you to commit to a yes or a no and notice how your mind wants to justify and qualify and tell a story around it and get still.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Well, I feel like I actually am at my essence free. So maybe it's an illusion of needing anything, because I know that in my essence, I guess I do. I would say, yes, I do need my freedom to be true to who I am.
So you need your freedom. You need to be free.
Yes.
Wasn't that it? You need to be
yes.
free.
Yes.
How do you, and this is the third question. The first question is it true? Second, can you absolutely know that it's true?
I know that it's absolutely true.
Okay. Now, third question. How do you react? What happens to your life when you believe that thought and you're not free? Now, what we're looking for here are negatives, because, again, your positive answers, those of you listening to this that are also doing this work with Stu, look how when you believe the thought, it affects your body. It affects the people around you. It affects how you live your life. How do you react, Stu, when you think the thought, I need complete freedom, and you don't have it?
It doesn't feel good to me. If I feel confined. I feel, I can feel a little squirrely, if you know what I mean, and really uncomfortable in my skin.
And notice how the mind begins to compare you with other people and other experiences.
And
you see it?
As I think about...
Notice how the mind reacts when you think the thought, I need to be free, and you're not.
Mm.
I really love that you listeners and all of us look at how the mind reacts when it believes the thought. It compares, it shows you images of a past and a future. It shows how you're less and others are more. Feel the feelings that happen when you believe the thought, I need to be free, and you're not. And maybe someone has you strapped down. I mean, maybe you're ill and paralyzed and can't walk. And some of you out there listening to this are in similar situations. And some of us are perfectly healthy with this thought, and it's just as painful. How do you react? What happens when you believe the thought, I need to be free, and you're not?
I know in my heart that I'm the only person, or the only, the only person that can truly limit my freedom, or my perception of freedom.
Okay, now that's more of an intellectual, that's kind of a move into discussion, and let's move back. And this is difficult for some of us. For me, how I react when I think the thought I should be free and I'm not, I automatically become less than I was before I thought it.
Mm.
Less free than even before the moment I believed this. Stu, who would you be, fourth question, who would you be without the thought, I need to be free?
I really have no idea. I believe I would be some essence that goes beyond a who even. It would just be loving and fun-loving and frolicking and enjoying the moment. I don't even know if that's...
But there'd be no way to know you weren't.
Unless... I had moments when I didn't feel that. I'm not quite following.
Well, I need to be free. If I had never heard that concept, how would I know I'm not free?
Hmm. So what you're saying is I'm already free and I just was thinking that I wasn't.
Yes. And when we look at how the mind works, and we become less than we were before we believe the thought. And then how the mind compares when we think the thought, I need to be free. And how we can drop, even below that, even into a depression. Other people are free. And especially around finances, this can get really scary. We start believing that money and the perfect body and the material world can give us what we appear to be lacking, that we're not, in fact. So let's turn it around. I need to be free. What is the opposite of I need to be free?
I don't need to be free.
Okay, now if the universe is friendly, and what I like to say is, this is a perfect world. God is everything. God is good. God is love. But if the universe is friendly, I don't need to be free. Why is that? Why would that? If God is love and God is good, why would that be so for you? Why would that be as true or truer? I don't need to be free.
Well, ultimately, there would be no distinction between me and God, that God, I would just be an expression of God. So in that case, it would be needless altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's inherently free.
Mm-hmm. Can you find another example? I love that people find three of these when they move to these opposites. I don't need to be free. Where I went with it is,
where I'm already free.
Yeah. And another example. I don't need to be free. An example of that might be, I'm not mature enough yet. There are more lessons for me to learn. That the universe is so friendly and so good, it wouldn't want me to miss anything. The things have to be realized for their preciousness.
Well, that one, on that note, I'm not quite sure I believe that one, Katie, to be honest with you, because I do trust that whatever lessons I need to learn, I learn just by virtue of showing up. When we return, we'll do a little bit of work with our mothers on this very special Mother's Day, right here on Inside Wealth.
Never didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. And no one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be, you will always be the girl in my life.